You never know what can come up in a psychiatric session. At the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Louisville, two patients complained that Dr. Patricia Kinney revealed her sexual orientation. They requested another doctor. She received a warning from center management, but management's case didn't prevail at the Office of Special Counsel. We get more on the lessons learned in this case from federal employment attorney Sherry Cannon of the law firm Tully Rinke. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so this case is an unusual one, I guess, because of the fact that patients requested another doctor. But I guess what we are learning from OSC is that's fairly common in the VA.
Yes, from what I have come to learn about this case, it's apparently very common that, and I bet in the private sector too, that people have a relationship with their physician, especially with a psychiatrist or therapist, that you must be able to trust. And oftentimes people come to recognize that maybe their relationship isn't the greatest, and in this case, as one of the examples. But I guess at VA, they have a similar experience, and people say, hey, I want somebody different. I don't think that's all that unusual.
And so what is, in general, what is expected of employees, or what are employees required or not required to do when it comes to revealing, let's take it out of the doctor-patient situation, but just in the general workplace in the federal government, what is the prevailing policy and law toward sexual orientation and the revealment of it?
Well, that's an interesting question. Your sexual orientation, like anything else, is a personal matter. I always used to joke when I worked in the federal government, don't talk about politics, don't talk about your religion. And I guess you could add sexual orientation. There's nothing preventing people from disclosing their sexual orientation. However, it might not be the wisest thing to do, depending on, you know, the circumstances under which you work. But people should not also, alternatively, be prevented from disclosing their sexual orientation because that's who they are. That said, this context of this case is completely different because this is a psychiatrist, a physician, and a patient, and I am unfamiliar with the rules about what physicians and patients, or particularly what physicians should share with their patients, but I'm not sure, you know, that's a medical board kind of discussion, not an employment discussion, quite frankly, and I think this may or may not have been improper, but what was improper here was the VA threatening, it looks like, to fire this physician for such disclosures being harmful to the doctor-patient relationship, where they had other patients apparently complaining about other physicians, other psychiatrists, for other reasons and did nothing to them.
So it sounds as if perhaps in the VA there's a little bigger problem than the issue with this particular doctor.
Well, there's all kinds of problems with the VA, quite frankly. They do have a culture of picking and choosing who they choose to discipline, and unequal treatment of people, including their employees of whatever ilk, doctors, nurses, staff, based on the whims of the executives at that particular medical center. So this doesn't, in the broader context of what goes on at the VA, this does not surprise me that VA management at the Louisville Center felt it was okay to treat this doctor differently than any other doctor who had people asking for different physicians.
Because earlier we had Catherine Park on from the AFGE, and they're trying to get a particular provision in a law somewhere in Section 5 regarding federal and public employees changed such that there is collective bargaining that can be brought back to the VA. I guess VA is enabled to have to have collective bargaining with its employees, but for 25 years or so has chosen not to.
That's very interesting. One of the things that I have noted with the VA, a lot of the individuals who are employed there are what are called Title 38 employees, not Title 5 employees, and they don't have rights to go to the Merit Systems Protection Board like the rest of the Title 5 employees throughout the government if the VA was to do something to them, such as fire them or suspend them for more than 15 days. And in my view and in my observation and my practice, this does, in fact, the fact that these individual employees do not have board rights does, in fact, embolden VA to take actions, knowing that there will be no outside oversight.
Let's talk about the difference between Section 5 and Title 38 employees for a moment, because I think that's an important distinction.
Right. Well, Title 38 is used for medical professionals. VA is not the only government organization that has Title 38 employees, But it's important for several reasons. It's the most important for our discussion is that their rights as employees of the federal government are different than Title V employees, what you would think of as a government employee, somebody that works at OPM or the Department of Commerce or the Department of the Air Force or any of those people. Those are Title V employees, and including, by the way, the senior executives at the VA are have more rights than Title 38. Than Title 38 employees, even though those rights have been circumscribed by Congress. They still have a right to go to the board if they get fired. Title 38 employees, in certain health professions, I need to emphasize that, certain health professionals at the VA who are hired under that authority do not have certain rights. They always have rights, as this doctor does, to go to OSC and complain, and they obviously have rights to go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to complain about discrimination on the basis of race, age, sex, gender, et cetera, religion, et cetera. But for purposes of disciplinary acts, MSPB rights don't exist, and I think that's really, really emboldened certain VA management to take actions against persons where in other cases they might not be so involved.
We're speaking with Sherry Cannon. She's a partner at the law firm Tully Rinke. And you mentioned in this conversation we've had three different agencies outside of VA. There's the Office of Special Counsel, and then there's the Merit Systems Protection Board, and then there is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And so that's quite an array of places people can go. And since this has been coming up so much with VA and other agencies lately, maybe give us a quick primer on where you go first if you don't like what's happening to you in terms of your supervisor's treatment.
Well, that's a good question. So anybody in the federal government can go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or file an EEO complaint first with their agency and then work its way through the process for discrimination based on certain identities such as your race, your sex, your national origin, your religion, disability, et cetera. Sexual orientation is not one of those at this point in time. That's why OSC exists. But putting that aside, anybody has that right to complain of discrimination. And that's what the EEO process is for. The Office of Special Counsel is an organization that enforces laws that are related to prohibited personnel practices, certain things that government organizations do they're not supposed to, hiring people, you know, that are related to you, improper hiring and firing practices. They enforce the Hatch Act, which is people engaging in political activity while on duty. They enforce a variety of other laws that the EEOC doesn't, and that's why people with a complaint of sexual orientation discrimination might want to go to OSC, because they do have mechanisms to investigate such things and enforce that particular bar against discriminating against people on the basis of something other than their work. You're not supposed to treat people differently in the federal workplace or, you know, on the basis of hiring, promotion, ratings, et cetera, on anything other than their merit. So the Office of Special Counsel enforces what's called the Merit Systems Principles. And then there's the MSPB, which exists as an independent judicial type of body. It is not a court, but it is a board that is set up to, when people have actions taken against them at work, adverse actions such as a firing or suspensions or RIFs or downgrades, things of that nature, or they're denied disability, retirement, or other annuity issues by the Office of Personnel Management, they appeal to that organization and have their rights adjudicated through that process. So there are three different places you could go depending on what your issue with your supervisor is. If you just have issues with your supervisor, it could be an EEO issue or it could be an OSC issue, but MSPB would not come into play unless you had some action taken against you.
And what about the Federal Labor Relations Authority, the FLRA? Where does that come into this whole picture?
And that deals with unions. The federal government does have unions that collectively bargain for certain people in certain organizations. Some organizations don't have unions because they just can't because of the nature of what they do. But for the most part, the federal government has unions. But FLRA enforces the labor laws, enforces unfair labor practice laws and things like that. So they deal with strictly with union employees and the bargaining units at the various organizations.
And getting back to the case of Dr. Kinney, who was the one who revealed her sexual orientation to patients and was reprimanded or, I guess, threatened with firing if she didn't stop doing it, and turns out that her right to do so was upheld. What about the compensation available to people in these cases? In this case, she got money for pain and suffering, plus legal fees and, I presume, back pay. So she was pretty well paid for the, you know, whatever she underwent as a result of the VA personnel actions. Is that what people generally can get? I mean, how often do you see this comprehensive settlement?
You don't see this comprehensive settlement generally. However, if the OSC finds that you are correct and certain actions, let's say certain actions are taken against you improperly, you're entitled to what is called status quo ante, meaning where you were before all of this happened, in the most colloquial fashion. So as if it never happened. So if you have lost pay because you've been fired and you've been out of work, you're entitled to back pay. If you've retained an attorney and the attorney has worked on the case for you, you are entitled to legal fees. If you have hard money damages, meaning you had travel expenses, medical expenses, anything that is out of your pocket, you can be entitled to that. Pain and suffering compensatory damages, it is unusual for OSC to obtain those, but it's not unfounded. It is it's allowable, but very rarely does that happen. Normally, you see compensatory type of damages, pain and suffering type of damages at EEOC, but it doesn't mean that OSC cannot do it or that it isn't done. It's rare, but it happens.
So this case must have touched off some consternation at those levels to give that level of compensation back to that employee.
Yes. What has happened here is OSC has gotten what is called corrective action, meaning they correct the action taken against the employee. And OSC must have found that the VA management had no explanation for treating this doctor differently than other doctors who had people complaining about them for other reasons. I don't like my doctor because I don't like the way they look or because they talk to me funny or what for all the variety of reasons doctors get switched. OSC must have determined that you don't do anything like trying to fire all these other doctors and you singled this doctor out because of her sexual orientation. And you don't have an explanation for that. Therefore, you committed a prohibited personnel practice. That has to have, in order to even get to this discussion, they had to have found that. And so once that has happened, the OSC can press it further, or the organization, like the VA, can settle a matter, which is what it looks like happened here, and determine that that it is better to deal with this in a less formal fashion than a process that involves a board or a court, and that they will settle the case. And that is exactly what they have done.
All right. Well, that's interesting outcome. Sherry Cannon is a partner at the law firm Tully Rinke. And thank you for that primer on what employees can do if they feel aggrieved.
Well, thank you. And you're very welcome for saying that.